truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
I would like to reiterate to President Barack Obama the words of the chef and Mujahid.
While the high-profile names include Emmett Till and Donald Washington.
I tried to fight it a little bit, but I was actually told by one of the media.
I think the second one may well be called for. Any stimulus acts with it.
Hey, this is Charles Barkley. I'm a dumbass.
All right. World famous Phil Hendry Show here every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The only news, talk, and entertainment show in the world that knows what it's talking about. And what are we going to pick up today, man? What is the, you know, what cat droppings have we got to get in the box and get out to the garbage? What run do we have to scrape? What do we got to clear up today? Well, a lot of it has to do with some economics. Some of it has to do with some other things. You know, there's the big and there's the little. There's the big, as in the Michael Jackson case continues to preoccupy millions of people worldwide. And the reason for that today might very well be what we told you about last night, that this isn't over, not because people are going to still be crying and placing flowers and cutting themselves and hacking their hair off and carving swastikas into their foreheads. No, it's because they may be putting some quack away, some jailhouse doctor, some guy down the street, you know.
Yeah, like that guy in Heat when they took the guy that had a bullet in him. You go, yeah, let's take him out the back way.
Which guy in Heat?
That one guy, remember he had to take his shirt off that his daughter gave him?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was Jeremy Piven's, by the way, in Heat. He played the doctor who, remember, some doctor that criminals know, and they can take their buddies to the guy, and they'll get stitched up without anesthesia, but they just put a rag in their mouth, and they tell them to bite down, and then they carve, you know, they saw their leg off, and don't you scream now, don't scream at all. All right, that'll be, you know, $100,000, and they pay in cash. That one imagines that's exactly what they're dealing with in the Michael Jackson case. We'll get into that here on the Phil Hendry Show tonight. Also coming up, four have been charged for grave robbing. It's not really grave robbing what they've done, and this was a huge story today. It is a cemetery in Islip, Illinois. And in this cemetery are buried the bodies, among others, of Emmett Till, who was a teenage boy lynched, basically murdered. His body was then set on fire after having been hung. And the crime that he never committed was for apparently looking at or whistling at or maybe touching or asking for a milkshake a white girl. It happened in Illinois. It happened in the 50s. It was so outrageous. And the critical mass in this country on civil rights had reached such a point where many look at that moment as a seminal moment in the civil rights movement. Eventually, African Americans decided that was it. That was the end of the road. That was the end of the line. And they, you know, they were going to stand up and do something about their plight. Emmett Till is buried there. The great Dinah Washington is buried there. And what happened was these guys, I'll tell you all about it, but they were basically picking bodies up and dumping them.
Yeah, they had like a dump. It was a body dump. Yeah, mine said it roped off.
What is it with you guys and roped off?
Well, I thought it was roped off.
Not roped off, man. They dug the bodies up and they threw them out. So all of that's coming up. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, and you can join us at twitter.com/RealPhilHendry. We are live video streaming tonight as usual. We're live audio streaming tonight as usual. And we are on radio stations all over this great, big, beautiful country of ours. And we've got a couple of new affiliates coming on board we're very excited about. We don't want to tell you right now, but we'll tell you soon enough about a new affiliation of the Phil Hendry Show. You can go to our website, www.philhendryshow.com, and check out and see where a radio station close to you is. We're really happy to be here because if it wasn't us, man, you guys would be lost. You'd have to sit here and listen ad nauseum to our good friend there, Meathead O'Reilly, who, you know what, you could walk up to O'Reilly and you could basically say to him, you know, Bill, here are the reasons why I believe that you are a tacit, perhaps subconscious or unconscious or just knocked out in a coma, but you're a racist from the old Irish school. And you could say it over and over again. You could bring in doctors, anthropologists, archaeologists. You could bring in his grandmother. You could bring in his mother. You could bring in his dad to tell stories about how Bill tortured animals and wet his bed. And he'd still sit there saying, who's got your back, huh? He'd still be there thinking that he's talking for the folks. Hey, Meathead, I got to tell you something, man. Like I said, there's a lot of things you say that I agree with. But if you say folks one more time, I will challenge you to a fist fight, and I know I'll get my ass kicked because you're about 4 inches taller than me. But I know I could get in a couple of shots before finally I'm subsumed by your bodyguards. But I think I could put you down with a couple of shots. Then I just kind of jump, and as the bodyguards pull me off of you, and then you get in a few kicks to my groin, then it would be over. I know that. But at least I'd like to take that opportunity. If I ever get to go on his show, I'm going to provoke him into a fight.
You're kidding me.
No, I'm not.
Now, Mr. Henry, you hit that. Hold on. That's a very dangerous thing.
I don't care. If I ever get invited on the O'Reilly show, I'm going to provoke him to the point where he commits physical violence.
You could die. Will a man kill you?
Phil, you got to think about it.
Are you guys out of your minds? Have I been invited on the O'Reilly show anytime lately?
What if you call up tomorrow? What if his people call up tomorrow so we want Phil Henry on?
Yeah, you gotta make a contusion plan?
A contusion plan, huh? A contingency plan?
Yeah. Don't you gotta do that?
Dude, I ain't gonna make no contingency plan because I'm gonna be on the O'Reilly show. That guy is as dumb as it gets. And I'll tell you something else. He's perfect. He's beautiful because he does speak for a lot of people. And I gotta remember my own advice. Phil, don't continue to complain. You have to understand why. That's what it's all about. If you just keep saying a guy's dumb, 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 then that's very redundant. What's wrong with Bill O'Reilly? Nothing. Nothing that, just cutting back on a mayonnaise isn't going to cure. There's nothing wrong with O'Reilly. He's just got white man disease, you know. He's got old white man disease, which is basically, at one point, your mind shuts down and you no longer want to understand why the culture is the way it is. That's all there is to that. You just don't want to understand anymore. And so you just say, well, this is the way it's going to be. This is the way that it is. And I always tell people that if you go through life like that, especially if you're young, that's how you're going to be when you're old. Except you won't be young anymore and you won't be good looking anymore. You'll be the old man or the old lady down in the cul-de-sac who's pissed off because people are walking by their house, right? So he can talk all he wants about, it was a white man that fathered the children, but what is all the hype? All the hype, every time you open your mouth, man, your breath alone. Now what we have on top of that, and you know what, that's all dying down. We had almost a bloodbath, myself talking with people that I know about Michael Jackson, what he represents to the culture. And I will only go back on what it was I was saying all along. It's obviously very significant. There's nothing you can do about it. That's the way it is. And if people don't want to hear it talked about anymore, then I would submit to them the following. You are not interested really in what's happening in this world. Well, what about the soldiers that are dying in Afghanistan and Iraq? Let me clue you in on something. On this radio show, more so maybe than any other radio show, and in a much more difficult manner, I might add, we've talked about those soldiers a lot and their sacrifice and what it really represents. We haven't pandered. We're not sitting here trying to do some, old glory tour with a bunch of country singers and a bunch of soldiers walking up at a stage. You know, we're not looking to turn it into flags of our fathers. We've talked about the reality of what those soldiers are up against. But guess what they're up against? They're up against an enemy that doesn't understand what we are. And what we are includes Michael Stinkin' Jackson. Understand these things, man. It's not. Did we dump that?
What?
What do you mean, what?
I wasn't listening.
Well, you got to dump it because I just said a dirty word. We have to gosh darn well, understand who we are and why we are the way we are and quit resisting it for crying out loud. It ain't like people that dig Michael Jackson are traitors. You'd swear to God that these people are traitors. So now what do we got today? We got Michael Jackson, the Jackson family. They know that the police are probing into singer Michael Jackson's death and that it could turn into a criminal case. The family is aware of a potential criminal prosecution. The comments came on the same day that Los Angeles Police Chief William Bratton said detectives were awaiting the coroner's report to decide whether to proceed with the investigation as a homicide or an accidental overdose. So they don't know yet, but they're getting ready to do one of two things. Close the case, accidental. Find out whether or not the doctors were negligent. If the doctors were negligent, then you may well have a homicide or a negligent death, or something along those lines, manslaughter. I don't know what the hell they're going to charge a guy with. And I suppose we could find out, but I would think that any doctor who isn't licensed to prescribe medicines or in point of fact, prescribes a medicine that causes death, prescribes something that causes death, that guy's ass is in a lot of hot water, man. And I mean, and there ain't no bubbles in it either, other than the ones that he makes when he's relieving himself, you know?
Yeah,
Okay. Now,
what do you mean relieve himself?
Well, I meant to say fart is what I meant to say. Now, the story goes on to say Bratton also said investigators are being assisted by agents from the DEA and the state's attorney general's office. This isn't going away at all. This doesn't have anything to do with Michael Jackson so much as it now has to do with drug-dealing doctors. How do these guys prescribe these medicines? Who are they? Where are they? Where are they hiding? What country in South America? What branch of the SS did they work for? We got to find them and bring them before the bar of justice. Enough's enough with these guys. You know, some of you doctors out there, forgive me. I would say this. I say some of you doctors out there, you know who these guys are. You're familiar with them. They're everywhere. Here in Hollywood, we've got a bunch of doctors who want to rub elbows and maybe rub something else with movie stars and heavyweights, right? So the only way they know how to do that is to give them all the dope they need. Now, many of these people, not being too bright, they take it. Or they're in pain, or they're in psychic pain, or whatever the hell their problem is, okay? And the next thing you know, you got a few dead actors. Now, to some people, maybe that isn't such a big deal, but it's still in all, it's, you know, a crime. And if those guys are cavalier with the way that the drugs are leaving their office, well, I can bet you money that not the only guy getting this stuff is Michael Jackson. This stuff is going to everybody and anything. It's being sold everywhere. And it's all coming from the prescription pad of some jive-ass mother who's in Beverly Hills and thinks that he's the plastic surgeon to the Jackballs, you know. That great TV show?
Yeah, the Jackballs. Starring...
All right, so that's the story. And as far as the rest of it goes, this guy's dead. As long as people want to talk about it, they're going to talk about it. And radio listeners, talk show junkies, talk show hosts, stupid bastards like O'Reilly or Hannity or anybody else who just doesn't get it, or on that Fox and Friends, I was looking at that Gretchen Carlson. And a guy called the show last night, and he said that these people thought it was bizarre that that child was crying at the funeral. I mean, you know, there is a, I don't know what you would want to call it, there is a decency, just a basic decency that you observe. Now, either you're a real journalist or you're not. If you're a real journalist, you're going to understand why people like this stuff. If you're not, if you're just some chump change that was Miss America, and now they got you sitting on your ass doing a morning show on Fox with your crossed eyes, well, good for you. And you too, Ducey. Or I should have said you too, Carlson, would have been funnier.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be back here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. And coming up, the swim club that would not let those little black kids in, they're saying it didn't have anything to do with race. We just didn't know there were going to be that many kids. This seems to make sense to some people, but it doesn't make any sense to us. We'll tell you why when we come back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and Twitter at twitter.com/RealPhilHenry. Phil, and the only news talk and entertainment show anywhere in America that knows what it's talking about. If you listen to our show, if you come away from the day's events confused, I can guarantee you that we will clarify at least one or two things for you. One of the reasons why you're confused is because the jackasses that you're listening to on the radio and a lot of these oddballs you see on TV, a lot of guys that, you know, if you take one look at them, ordinarily you'd wonder where their ski cap is and where their bicycle is, right? But all of a sudden they've got a suit and tie, and you're going, wow, these guys are anchoring like a talk show. Or that's the guy that delivers groceries to my house. And those cats are coming at it, of course, from a very partisan point of view. In the Michael Jackson case, they're coming at it from a racial point of view. I'm sorry, it's the only way I can say it. What the hell else is it? What causes a guy, a journalist, to keep saying the same damn thing? It's hype, 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 20 million, 20 million, 20 million, 20 million, without finding the answers to the questions. What causes a guy who is a supposed, and I'm not just talking about Meathead, I'm talking about any one of these guys, CNN, whoever. CNN's got their own problems. CNN is a pandering network. CNN is a network of white men who want everybody in the black community to believe that they're down with their experience. That's why they've got Black in America Part 2, you see. Even though I don't think there's an African-American in the country that would even be remotely interested in watching that show, that's how bad it is. That's how much of a pandering experience that Black in America 2. What is your point? All right. One of the problems with these journalists is that they do not want to understand. They want to move on to something else. They want to move on to something more important. They want to move on to Obama, Obama, Obama. They want to beat the living crap out of Obama and Palin morning, noon, and night. They want to beat the crap out of that. But by God, a couple of weeks on Michael Jackson, you'd swear to God these guys are going to start bleeding rectally. Anyway, getting back to Jackson, the fact that these quacks were treating him, the fact that this guy had the drugs that he had, the fact that the word is that he had some, like, what was it, like millions and millions of prescriptions, man. I mean, I'm exaggerating. But he had more drugs in his house than you could possibly want in your wildest hallucination, bud.
Well,
I'm serious. He'd been prescribed tranquilizers that you usually knock aardvarks out with. He'd been prescribed pain medication that is generally reserved for elephants with headaches. He'd been prescribed, this guy's 110 pounds soaking wet? By the time they found this poor man, and he was in the state that he was in, he's already bald, he's wearing fright wigs that he picks up at a costume shop, his nose is coming off, now he weighs 100 pounds because some quack is feeding him painkillers and muscle relaxants that could possibly have had something to do with his death. But we predicted it on the show last night. We said, if you think you're done with Michael Jackson, forget it, man, because this is going to turn into a criminal investigation. And by God, that's what Chief Bratton of Los Angeles is indicating today, possible criminal investigation. And I hope it is. And I hope the first guy that they throw into the deepest part of the Bastille, somewhere on Devil's Island, is, you got it, Deepak Chopra. Because I think he's been...
I love that guy, man. What do you want that guy to go to jail for?
I think he's holding out, man.
Holding out? I thought you said he should go to LAPD.
He didn't. He got on Larry King and he said, I know the names of these guys, but I ain't saying nothing. I'm no rat. I'm not going to drop a dime on my fellow jackasses. He didn't say that, but you know. 877-876-PHIL. Here is James. James in Houston, Texas. James, what's on your mind?
Yes, man. Your conversation is extremely interesting. It's emotionally distraught, and I just want to know why you have to.
You know, I was talking about guys that wear ski caps and deliver flour.
You are hilarious. That's what you are. No, but seriously,
is this Dave Oliva?
But I want to be honest with you. I called because I was distraught by the comment that you made. About you were talking about how the doctors were getting all these drugs, and the place that they got them were for South America. I don't understand why South America or
because
any other
I consider
country.
These doctors to be nothing more. I consider these doctors to be nothing more than the ancestors, the spiritual and medical and Hippocratical ancestors of Joseph Mengele. In other words, Nazi SS doctors. Nazis. I believe Michael Jackson was being treated by, you got it, Nazis.
Wow. Okay.
Fascists. Well, I can't describe it any other way. I think they escaped Germany and they came directly to his house and decided they'd experiment even further. I mean, look at the guy. If Mengele hadn't gotten a hold of him, who did? Either him or Walt Disney.
What do you mean, Walt Disney?
You know exactly what I mean. All right, James, thanks for your call, man. Let's go to another phone call. You have a nice night. Here is Daryl. Now I know why you guys wanted me to go to Daryl first. Daryl in Hagerstown, Pennsylvania. Daryl, how are you? Welcome to the show. What can we do for you?
Yeah, at least Mengele was doing it based on ideology. These people are doing it for money. And as far as I'm concerned, they're no different from the guy dealing crack five feet from an elementary school. No difference. Just because they can write scripts doesn't make them a doctor. They're drug dealers. Mm-hmm. That's what they are. And I don't see why we don't just call them that.
Well, they do. They do call them that. They call them. In fact, if you get right down to it, that's all really, well, I shouldn't say this because I'll get doctors mad at me, but what do doctors do besides give you a prescription for a pill?
That's the first thing,
and sometimes that's the only thing they do. Doctors don't know anything about prevention. You know, they don't know anything about any therapy beyond pills or surgery.
Well, you know, the pharmaceutical companies reward them handsomely for dealing those drugs. I mean, it's a game, but these guys are in a whole different league.
You're absolutely right, man. Somebody's taking them prescription pads and doing something with them, doodling with them. We'll be back. Thank you, Daryl, for your call. We'll be back with the swim club that's now telling the kids they're out, but they got a good reason for it,
Phil,
you know.
Hendry.
Yes, I was your next caller. Oh, you're going into your break.
Phil Hendry Show.
Now it's time it's time.
It's time for Iron Swine.
It's time for Iron Swine.
Yeah, time for Iron Swine. Iron Swine tonight. He did go down to, you know, where Michael Jackson lived and find out about a pill-popping doctor. Give a pill to a man. Kill a man with a pill.
That's right. Tonight on Iron Swine, brought to you by, like a medicine, some kind of medicine.
Like NyQuil?
Yeah, brought to you by NyQuil. Tonight on Iron Swine, he's going to go and find out about it.
Yeah. Iron Swine got a call where Iron Swine, you know, he live at a headquarters. He's not like a regular cop, you know, he don't go to the cop station, but all he do is he sit in his house. He's like an Iron Swine headquarters.
Yeah, it's like a big pen.
Yeah, like a swine pen.
The Iron Swine's sitting there in his own feces, and he's like,
what are you guys talking about now?
What? It's Iron Swine.
What do you mean he's sitting there in his own feces?
That would do it, living up in a swine pen.
Come on, man, you're wilting my permanent. You're busting the paradigm.
Yeah, okay, man. Sorry to interrupt your art.
Yeah, nobody ever interrupts you.
No, not much. Just your big mouth.
Now I gotta start all over again.
Don't start all over again. Just
all right. Iron Swine's getting called out from his pig pen because he's gotten a call
and a case of the pill popping doctor on Iron Swine.
Iron Swine gets in his car. And he's going to race to the, here he is, here's his car. See, listen. Get in the car.
And I finally have to go out and find a pill-popping doctor. No, he have to go on out to Beverly Hill. He got the address someplace. Because he's crippled and he's in a wheelchair, he dropped his address book. And now I got to get all these people here. Help me with the address book.
Yeah, excuse me. Can I get my address book, please? All right, thank you very much. And now he folds up his wheelchair and gets into the van. And off they go. And they go over to Michael Jackson's house. They go, oh, you're Michael Jackson? He goes, yeah, but I'm dead. And they go, how did you die? And he says, doctor.
Yeah, and that's when Iron Swine said, I better go find that doctor, Mr. Jackson. You get back in your coffin.
And he goes, yeah, okay. Well, I mean, you wouldn't ordinarily do that, but that's how we do it on the show. Then they find a doctor, and they put him under arrest, and Iron Swine goes back to his pen.
Go back to his swine pen.
Iron Swine, brought to you by, what did we say?
Like Campbell's Soup or something.
Campbell's Soup. For like a headache?
Okay, that's fine.
So what's Campbell's Soup?
No, I mean NyQuil.
NyQuil. Iron Swine brought you by NyQuil and a pill popper.
Jeez.
You're always butting in.
I only butted in when you said he was sitting in his own feces. That part I had to... I mean, is that your hero? That's your crime-fighting hero, huh?
Yeah, man. Your name Iron Swine, live in a pen.
What do you think he's going to do? You think he's going to sit there in a bathrobe?
What is he? Is he actually a pig?
No, he's Iron Swine. He got his nickname on account of what he did against the swine flu.
Yeah. Don't you read too good?
I know where you got the idea. All right. I'm sorry I shouldn't have butt in, okay?
Yeah, you screwed everything up. Now I gotta call Mr. Hall.
Oh, that's... Bud.
No!
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. We're going to come up here with the story of the kids. You know, there's a very tragic story there in Philadelphia. Not tragic so much as just sad. Okay.
He's online, too.
Yes, David.
Why don't you just let the retard and his friend do their bit so we can get out of it and move on with the show? What do you got to butt in for?
I didn't mean to. What are those sirens?
Never mind about the sirens, okay? I had a fender bender. What are you butting in for?
I'm sorry, I shouldn't have butt in.
The kid had a flea, he was on a roll. I was laughing my ass off. Then the minute you busted in with, oh, he's sitting in their own feces. I ran right into the back end of this model.
Really? Like, what's her name?
What do you mean, what's her name? No, it was a Cadillac, a 56, restored. And I'm standing there, I'm waiting for my insurance guy. I got the cops all over the place. Just let them do what they're doing, okay? And the sooner they get it done, the sooner you're back into the show. Do you understand? Capiche? You savvy, like a man said?
Yes, I savvy. Sorry.
Yeah. So there.
So there. Good for you. Fine. Now get these. Start. No, don't take that one. That's full. All right, our number 877-876-PHIL. Let's move into, can we get back to reality, okay? They called up Iron Swine, and he was in his pen, sitting in his own feces. Swim club members, nothing to do with race. Now, this is one of the more bizarre stories. However, I find this to be exemplary in many ways of what's wrong with the country. Not because we're necessarily a racist country, not because we're a country of snobs. No. This is an exactly perfect example of how these people could have taken a bad situation and turned it to their advantage. But did they? Were they bright enough there at the Valley Swim Club in, I believe it's Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania? No, they weren't. They're not too bright there. The reason is that when you spend decade after decade with your own nose shoved in your own rear end, which is, you got to admit, that's a feat. See, most of us do it with our noses in other people's rear ends. But these people are so wealthy, well, they can afford to stick their own nose up their own thing, right? Well, the problem with that is, all you ever have your nose in is your own stuff. You don't learn anything about the world. See, if they knew anything about the world, if they actually got outside and breathed the air the rest of us breathe, why, they could have said, oh, well, we made a mistake, and if the kids had already paid, not a problem. But let me tell you the story. Yesterday, we reported on this joint called the Valley Swim Club there in Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. I'm sure there are a great many other people that are talking about it. But Phil Hendry is going to lay it. We're going to lay it on you, man, the way it ought to be laid on you. We're going to give you the truth of the situation. Now, if Roland Martin were here, and you know Roland, he's a guy who, when he's not talking politics, he's really actually doing his own thing, which is lifting dumbbells, dressing in African formal wear, and pirouetting in front of a mirror. He would say,
No, Phil, this is code. Yeah, this is code. This is code for me.
No, it's not, but there's no way I can explain it to him. I couldn't explain it to him any better than that dumbass there in New York. What's that guy, that Charles Barron? You remember that guy with his Nehru jacket? Boy, the two of them on a Friday night. You get Roland there pirouetting in his Afro wear, and then you got Nehru there with his with Roland on his arm, and man, they'd be the hit of the ball. So anyway, this dumbass that owns the club, and when I say dumbass, I'm being kind. His name is John Dusler. He's the president. He doesn't own it. He made the statement that when they asked these children to leave, now understand that this camp that the children went to called Creative Steps Day Camp, a lot of people say, why are you even talking about this, man? Is it because it's in the... Yeah, this is a great example of how we try to make things a little bit better in this country. This is a fantastic example of two different areas of our culture, two different areas of our society, of our country, meeting, and things could have been cool, right? But there's that immediate spark, so don't ever tell me that the so-called racial division in this country is a figment of somebody's imagination. It's happening all the time. But this stuff can get chilled out. These kids come over there from this camp. The club had taken $1,900 of the money. They said, certainly, you can have the kids come over. Right? Well, and when they saw the kids, there were a couple of people in the club that got upset. You're going to hear this old bag. I mean, this very nice lady. She'll be saying she got upset, but she's not all that bad. You know, she likes blacks, and she's worked for some of them. Of course, that was when she was, you know, a prostitute. But no, seriously, she's fine with it, except when the kids come around, it's creepy. So then the guy, the president, he said, well, there was a concern that a lot of kids would change the complexion and the atmosphere of the club. Now, it's a very unfortunate statement because I don't believe he was talking about race. I ain't going to be able to convince anybody else of that. But I don't believe it. I believe he was talking about complexion, as in the atmosphere, the makeup, the overall, when you don't have kids, in other words, as opposed to black kids. Because he says a lot of kids. Yeah, I know, it's code. Okay, good for you, Roland. Or should I say blockhead? I always get you confused with your the one you were separated at birth from, O'Reilly. Club members who were at the pool at the day of the incident came forward Thursday to defend the organization. This lady, Lori, she said, well, it has nothing to do with race. Well, maybe it doesn't, and maybe it does. Nobody believes you, Lori, and I don't care, you know, who you think you are. Yeah, it's racial. I think Mr. Duesler wanted his comments to be reflected differently. And overall, it was a very bad way of dealing with it. I'm going to tell you how they could have dealt with it and how they could have made themselves look like kings. But they can't. They're not going to do it now. And I think if this club, this Creative Steps Day Camp, is contacted by this club and they try to make amends, I think you ought to tell them to take it and shove their entire club up Lori Stokowski's rear end. We're going to be going on day three on this thing, you know. They could have thought of it the next day. Club employee Jim Flynn comments on the reason the club's president gave for booting the children from the pool. Now, remember, $1,900 had been spent, so these children could have, I believe, a month of fun at the pool.
On Tuesday, the board president told NBC 10 News, quote, there was concern a lot of kids.
Now, here is the employee.
On Tuesday, the board president.
Wait a minute, man. What are we talking about? Responds? Which one are we talking about here?
On Tuesday.
Is this
the board president told NBC 10 News, quote, there was concern a lot of kids would change the complexion and atmosphere of the club.
That was one of the stupidest statements I've ever heard in my life, although probably taken out of context. I don't want to bash the president because personally I believe that he is a good man and that he needed to think before he spoke.
All right, so that's a guy who's on the board. It says he's a club employee. He's on the board of the club, and he said it was one of the stupidest things that he's ever heard anybody say. Now we have this comment. A member speaks in defense of the club and the action taken by this jackass Duesler.
This has nothing to do with race.
This club member says she complained about the campers too, saying the board accepted the campers and their money without telling the membership.
You bring in 65 kids, you can't monitor that.
All right. Let's stop for a second. Are they supposed to tell the members? It could very well be that they are. I don't know. And it doesn't make any difference in the final analysis. I'm just trying to figure out, I'm just trying to get the lay of the land. Are they supposed to tell the members? Maybe they're not supposed to tell the members. Maybe the members, it's none of their business whether or not the board says we'll take this money or we won't. Now, here is the camp counselor, and I believe we heard from this gentleman yesterday as he comments on the disappointment that the children felt reacting to the news that they can't have this month swimming at the club.
It didn't happen to me. It happened to a bunch of kids. Every parent is upset. They're growing up to believe they're just as equal as anybody else.
And I heard this lady, she was like, what are all these black kids doing? And she's like, I'm scared they might do something to my child.
I don't know what happened, but as Rice said, something happened and we're not allowed to go back in anymore.
No, they just kicked us out. And we're about to go. Have a swim things and everything.
I like that it was outdoor and you had like you can get a snack from the snack thing. But
all right, yeah, but there you go. Okay. Great, great summer. Thanks a lot, all right. Now there's a couple of things I'm gonna say here, and then we'll go into our break. Number one, the club had a policy. I don't know what it is. They accepted the money, they said come on, the kids showed up. Some old bag like this Lori, whatever the hell her name is, she complained, it ain't about race. All right, if you say so, I don't believe that personally, but it doesn't matter what Phil Henry believes, and it's really beside the point. It's beside the point. What they did essentially is this, and if I had been there, if I'd been with this camp, I would have said to the guy, you know what, you got our money. You took our money in good faith. You led us to believe that you would accept our business. Now, I am expecting to have 1 month at this club. If not, then I'm going to make a larger issue of this beyond just going to the press. I think I might just even sue your ass. How do you feel about that, man? Do you really? I mean, I would have scared this guy 18 different shades of crap right out of him right there, Jim Duesler, whoever he is. And I would have said to him, now, that's the bad news. The good news is the following. You can turn this into a public relations. It'll be beautiful, man.
Well, what can I do, Mr. Henry?
You can say, you know what, ordinarily, we should have informed the members, we didn't, but we're going to let the kids swim here anyway, and we'll make amends with our membership, and we just want everybody to know that we're true to our word, we took the money, we said we're going to do what we're going to do, and we're going to do it. And you're going to look like a hero, and the kids are going to love your ass up one side and down the next, and who knows, when they all become multi-millionaires, and not just basketball players either, they may even invite you to their house, maybe, you know, come in the back door, and you can sit and have a party.
Well, that sounds good.
Okay. That's what I would have said to the guy. But I wouldn't have walked out of there. I would not have budged with those kids until I got up into that guy's face and said, you took $1,900 of my money, okay? This is a contract that we have. I'm sure they signed something. They must have signed something. Must have. And now you're telling me I got to take my kids out of here? Why is that? Well, I made a mistake. Well, yeah, you sure as hell did make a mistake, friend, because you took my money, we're here, and these children are not going anywhere. They're going to swim in that damn pool unless you want to make some other arrangements. Do you know another club where the kids can swim? Do you have an associate relationship with other clubs? Can you take these old bags that are swimming around here with looking like they're well-kept graves and cart them off to another club so I can put my kids in this pool? You better think of something fast, Doozler. I would have been, I'm telling you, I would have been beside myself. Plus, you're in Philadelphia where it can't smell too good. I'm kidding. But you know it's hot. You're hot, you're tired, you got a bunch of hot and tired and hungry kids. And if you've ever been around kids that are hungry, you might as well be around a pack of wild lions. And you got to do some of the kids. But what did this stupid guy do? This stupid clod sent him packing. So I hope that this Valley Street, this is the kind of stuff that just, it's an example of what when I started, it's an example of how in this country today, we don't use our brains for love or money. We wonder why things have gone to hell in a handcart. We don't even have the good sense. We don't have the creative imagination to deal with a situation like human beings. All we do, like a Tom, like some kind of a Walt Disney robot, you know, we stand there and say, can't have money, you may not come, because club says, old lady, and she leaves turd in pool. Oh, okay. And you get into the bus and you drive off. So it's called the Valley Swim Club there in wherever the hell it is, Philadelphia. It's too bad I have a year's membership there, and it's very good. Otherwise, I'd quit, but they did give me the rate. All right, we're going to be right back.
You're kidding, right?
Yes, I'm kidding. We'll be right back here on a world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Is a second stimulus needed? Do we need more money? Do we need to park more money in there? Or should somebody in the Obama administration go and find where the money is and put the boot to the ass and get this money spent? How about that? Next on the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
It's the Phil Henry Show. You know, I should mention, because we started the whole thing off, we said that the kids should get some sort of, I wish that there was a club around the area that would invite them, and I think another club did invite them. I don't know. It bothers me. It just bothers me. I could see all these kids looking forward to having a nice swim, and it's got nothing to do with race. It has to. You know what, man? I don't buy it for a minute. I don't buy it for a minute, honky. Okay, you and your au fait old ladies. It's called what? Overall College.
Yeah.
No, it isn't. It's Girard College, and it's in Philadelphia. And they have said the kids can come and use the pool, and they can use it as much as they want because. They're not pruned up and, you know, looking like somebody ought to stick them in the ground. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to a phone call here before we completely blow this evening apart. Here's John in Boston. John, how are you? What's up? What's going on?
Hey Phil. I just heard the story about the kids in Philadelphia.
Yeah?
And I couldn't believe what I was hearing. Could the federal government come in and bring charges against that college?
It's not a college. It's a club. And you want to know why they might be able to, but I think it'd be a big waste of time. But they might be able to, even though it's a private club, they advertise open membership. If they were a private club and they said they were simply a private club to enable old ladies who have a tendency to lose control of their bowels in swimming pools, but they'll let them in. You know what I'm saying? If they were a club that allowed old men who wore Speedos, which would be offensive to you and I, of course, but that club that allows that, see? But no, they say they got open membership. They're private, which means you have to pay a fee and you have to observe the club rules. Nonetheless, and I think Senator Arlen Specter says he plans to launch an investigation into whether it was discrimination or not, and he's going to do it on that basis. When you say you are open to the public, you are now open to possible criticism based upon, you know, discriminating because people are black or because they're the wrong religion. This is all part of the Accommodations Act of the Civil Rights Act, you know, the Accommodation Section of the Civil Rights Act. I think it's a waste of time. I expect there is grandstanding, but all you got to do is this. You just say to them, you guys, probably civilly, something could be done, which I think would be far more satisfactory. Just sue the hell out of them. Fire this slob. Maybe give the kids a month at the pool. Maybe, you know, work something out so you don't have to go through a whole song and a dance.
I just don't want. All right? I just don't want them to be able to walk away, chuckling, laughing this off.
No way. No, these cats—they've gotten so much bad publicity for a lot of reasons. They responded in a very bad way. Their public relations has been a nightmare. They, you know, never give a quote to the newspaper that you're not sure of. And, you know, they'll quote everything. And obviously, this guy wasn't very experienced, so they completely mishandled this from the beginning. They could have nipped this in the bud by saying what I said, you know, hey, you know what? Our word is bond, man. Let the kids come on in and swim, and everything's good. But they didn't do that. And so it pisses off people like you, like me, and like Spectre. But I think they could still get out from under maybe if they said, well, we'll kick all the old ladies out next month and we'll let the kids in. I don't know. If it was me, I'd tell them to take their whole pool and, you know, you can fill it with battery acid. Go swimming in that. However, I'm, kind of curmudgeonly tonight, aren't I?
We were calling Iron Swine.
Get out of here with Iron Swine. We'll be back on the Phil Hendry Show with more. As Obama shakes Gaddafi's hand.
Phil Hendry.
Or is it Gaddafi?